Welcome to Baby Tour Guide's Montessori Babies podcast. I'm your host and baby tour guide, Bianca Solorsino, and for the last decade, I have dedicated myself to helping parents, educators, and caregivers optimize baby development through a Montessori lens. This podcast is all about evolving our Montessori practice to make our time with our sweet babies easier, relaxed, and so much fun. Let's jump into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to season 2, episode 31 of our Montessori Babies podcast. Before I jump into anything this week, I first want to say happy Mother's Day. I know most of you will probably not listen to this on Mother's Day, but this episode is being released on Mother's Day. So I just want to say you guys are so amazing. I see you, all of the late sleepless nights that you put in, all of the hard work and learning about yourself and your new role and supporting your child on their developmental journeys and loving them so, so much, and just everything that you do. I see you and just am so in awe of the role that you do. And truly, before I became a mom myself, I've always had appreciation for parents and mothers, but gosh, they really do mean it when they say that it's the hardest job in the world. And I just think you're amazing. So on that note, if you're on my email list, you'll be getting a little something this week in your email. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for that. This week is really special because I had an interview with a lady named Sandra Copping, and she is a very seasoned Montessorian. And I actually met her in a Facebook group. So it was in a Montessori Facebook group. I like kind of peeping in some, you know, Facebook groups here and there just to kind of see and comment and support however I can. And I met her that way, and we got to chatting and emailing, and I just asked her if she would come on the show, and she so graciously said yes. And our conversation is something that I am so, so, so passionate about. And it is all about understanding the Montessori philosophy. This idea and this topic is something that you will likely start hearing more and more, because I feel like more seasoned Montessorians are getting more comfortable in the online space. And basically, it has less to do with a lot of what you see and more of how you are. So like a lot of the stuff that we see online, on social media, you'll see like the prepared environments, the gorgeous toddler setups, like, you know, the functional kitchen and, you know, the Montessori baby room, and you'll see the pull-up bar and all of these like really just gorgeous things, all of the Montessori toys and materials, and all of those are so wonderful and definitely have a purpose. But the heart of doing Montessori, the foundation of doing Montessori, comes with understanding the principles combined with having a basic understanding of how babies grow. And these two pieces will be your foundation for literally everything. So you will be able to do Montessori and align and follow these principles in non-prepared environments. So like when you're outside and you're, you know, say on a walk with your child, like the approach that you take, how you are, how you let them be, all of these things come with understanding the Montessori philosophy. So that is what we're diving into today in our conversation. Before I jump into our interview, I wanted to go ahead and just kind of give you a quick update. I know I haven't done a solo episode in a while, and it's just because I've been meeting so many incredible Montessorians that I want to have on my show, but I will be doing more solo episodes in the coming weeks, and we'll be diving into baby development and Montessori baby info. I'm so, so excited for those. Over here, my son recently turned 2, and it is just a whirlwind. You know, I feel like you're so sleepy in the earlier years, and so it's kind of a blur. But all of a sudden, it's like the blink of an eye, and he's just a full-blown toddler. And, you know, with that comes a lot of fun toddler things. He's definitely getting more expressive, and he's testing the boundaries that we set. And he's so, so, so funny and just cracks up. And, oh, we're having so much fun with him. I do want to just give a small little pro tip and kind of sense of peace for you, too, that in the first few years, especially at home, truly the easiest and best way to support your young toddler's development is to involve them as much as possible because of how it aligns with where they're at in their development. So toddlerhood is still In the first half of the first plane of development, as coined by Dr. Montessori, her ideas on how babies grow into adults is through the planes of development. And the way that she dissects them is so wonderful and observant and just makes so much sense. But as you guys know, what I like to do on the show is to pull in child development info too, so you can see how beautifully they align. And there's another theorist that I love to reference, and his name is Eric Erickson. He talked about these different stages of development. And so the first stage of development is infancy, and that's trust versus mistrust. But the second stage is autonomy versus shame and doubt. And this second stage is where your child is going to want to seek autonomy, so independence. And so it's helpful for us to kind of be in a mindset of offering that as often and as much as possible. But so much of this also comes from knowing how to work with them because we're not inside 100% of the time, right? So inside, it's kind of like a safe space. When you prepare your space, you use all the Montessori principles in your home, you prepare your space, everything is perfectly set up. So you can kind of take a step back and let your child lead. And, you know, you model, you set boundaries, and you allow your child to thrive within the environment. But so much of your work also comes from knowing how to work with them and set these limits and, you know, aid in transitions and use purposeful language and just support their growth outside of the home too. And so having the foundation of understanding is so helpful for that. So now that I said all of that, let's go ahead and jump right into our quote for the week. And it's by the wonderful Dr. Montessori from The Secret of Childhood. And she said, "Now the adult himself is a part of the child's environment. The adult must adjust himself to the child's needs if he is not to be a hindrance to him, and if he is not to substitute himself for the child in the activities essential to growth and development." Now, this quote I found is so perfect for what Sandra and I spoke about in the interview, because truly, so much of your child's learning is going to come from you. It is going to come directly from you. And I know that this sounds like a lot of pressure, but truly just with this basic information and being as prepared as possible and just doing your best, you'll be doing the absolute best for your baby. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into our interview with Sandra Copping. Thank you so much for coming on our show, Sandra. I'm so, so excited to have you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm really excited too. Thank you for inviting me.
So can you tell us a bit about how you found Montessori, as well as your educational and professional history, and also then what you currently do so our audience can get to know you?
Okay, so I loved education when I was at school. I was head girl at school. I didn't have the opportunity to go to university. I went into a job in forensics office work because it was well paid. So I learned really good office skills from that. I then had my own children when I was quite young in my 20s, and I used to work in care homes. And then I found a lovely place where I worked with children with learning disabilities. And so I stayed there for about 10 years. Then I did a year working with adults with learning disabilities. And by that time, I was 40. And I really missed having children about, because I'd had mine young. They were like independent teenagers now. And a lady I worked with just said, "Oh, my sister works at a Montessori nursery. You should go and have a look. I think you would love it." And I went along, met the owner, walked through the door and just saw the materials. And it was everything that was missing in the lives of the young children that I'd had previously with learning disabilities. Mm. And I was like, "Yeah, there's a job, I'm here." I was there unqualified in childcare. So I did my MVQ level 3. I started on my Montessori International Diploma. Partway through that, the UK government were funding people to do early years childhood study degrees. So I took on my degree. As soon as I finished that, they'd come up with early years teacher status. So I had, you know, 6 or 8 years of solid studying and working full time. Mm-hmm. And went from being room leading, managing, and then helping develop the nurseries from 1 to a group of 7 nurseries. Got them all up to outstanding with Ofsted, which is, you know, how they're inspected in the UK. And then my life changed. My dad died and I decided that I didn't want to work full time anymore because I have my mum as well. So I went back to teaching, which is actually now I'm back doing it. It's what I really, really love. It's my real passion. Mm-hmm. And for tutoring, I've come across children who have autism, which is one of the things I used to specialize in. It's a favorite thing, just, you know, making that connection and making a real difference to a child's life. So I tutor a whole range of children on a one-to-one, but the more it goes on, the more time, the more children finding who want that special connection with somebody one-to-one. So it's really lovely to see how it's now developing.
That sounds awesome how you kind of just used what you had initially started studying and then ventured into Montessori, and your kids are so lucky to have you. So I'm really excited for this conversation because, you know, as a trained Montessorian, you understand that the foundation of understanding is what drives the Montessori method. And so I'm so excited to dive further into this. So would you mind touching on this a little bit?
So I think for parents, when they're going to have a baby, everybody's excited about what they can buy, what can I do, what can I put in the nursery? But actually the excitement should be, what can I learn? How can I prepare myself? What is my child going to need from me? And it's lovely to have beautiful resources and wonderful cot and, low shelving and wooden toys. All those things are lovely. But actually, I think a lot of people need to realize it's much deeper than that. And you need to actually educate yourself first about what it is that you want to do with your child. And if Montessori is what you want to do. So personally, I love it. But there are other options out there. But, you know, I think you really understand what it is that you want to deliver when you say, I'd like to be Montessori at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with this. I feel like I spent a lot of years in the classroom as a Montessori infant teacher. And then I ventured into supporting parents in home because I had a child who had to withdraw for health reasons. And I offered to support the child in home because they were doing so well with Montessori. And I feel like because there's so much fluff out there, especially on the internet, there's a lot of, you know, you see the beautiful environments and you see the toys and, you know, there's this kind of magic that's presented to you, but so, so much of it comes, the foundation of it comes from within, from you, from how you work with the child, you know?
I was once told years ago by an amazing Montessorian that a Montessori teacher could teach in the middle of a field with no resources. And you can, because you use the natural environment around you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is very much about you as a person, preparation of yourself, the respect you have for children, how you're going to speak to them, how you can bring awe and wonder into the world. You know, it's not about having the latest toys and resources. They are wonderful, but it's very much about, you know, the adults around the child, the other children around the child, have that love for watching them develop and understanding how they develop.
I couldn't agree more. So the majority of our listeners are new parents and caregivers and educators of infants and young toddlers. So in our initial emailing, we spoke about the first half of the first plane of development in relation to the sense of order. So can you touch on what a child's sense of order is and then why it's important for doing Montessori with babies and toddlers?
So I think our sense of order actually stays with us for all of our life. We all have things that we like to be as they are, as we expect them to be. And it is very much with Montessori. Everything has a purpose, everything has a place, and everything should be in its place. So for your baby, when your baby's first born, your baby doesn't know what to expect. So it is having a routine, but the routine that your baby needs. I sometimes see online people saying, can anyone give me a routine for my 14-month-old? And I'm like, no. Listen to your child. So, you know, when your child cries because your child's hungry, you need to feed it. And then your child will learn that the cure for these pains in their tummy is to be fed. And then your child will have trust that when they have these pains in their tummy and they cry, they'll receive the food. Or their child needs a cuddle. And when I cry, I get the cuddle. So your sense of order is very much about meeting your needs in the child. It's about your environment as well. So, quite often I see parents who constantly move their furniture to rearrange their homes, but that can be really disturbing for your child. Your child comes in, if they can put their bag, their coat, their shoes in the same place every day, that's respecting their sense of order. If they go to their shelves and their resources are there, if they're a baby and they can always go and get the same toy, that's respecting their sense of order. It is where it should be. So things like constant toy rotation, because the adult thinks a child is bored, is not Montessori. You rotate resources as your child develops, but it's very much about the space for your child, the routine for your child, and understanding that that builds the order within them, that gives them confidence. And from that confidence comes the raised self-esteem. You know, I can go in, I can find what I want to do. I have the repetition that's needed in Montessori. I can do this activity as much as I want. And then when I've fulfilled my need in it, I'll stop using it and then you can take it away. So it very much is about understanding how to observe your child, how to observe what they need. And so you build that sense of order around them and within their routines and within them, so they trust the environment they're in. If you see children whose needs are not met, so children that are not fed when they're hungry, when things are constantly moved, children become really unsettled. I remember a year, a friend of mine telling me how upset her child got when they went to the grandparents' house, but the grandparents had moved their belongings around and they couldn't understand why she had a meltdown. And it was because everything had moved and she couldn't find the things that she normally had. Bring your environment and your routines is really important.
Absolutely. And then, like you were saying, using observation to guide that. I've seen, you know, some children have a very strong sense of order. And then others, you know, it's still respecting the overarching concept. But, you know, just based on temperament, others are going to be a little bit more fluid. Using observation is going to be your key to just understanding your child and supporting it in that way. So thank you so much for sharing that.
I think as well, when you're expecting your first child, you need to practice observing as well, because a lot of people don't sit quietly to observe. You know, you actually just need to sit back and say, actually, what is my child doing? So if your child's picking up pieces of fluff on the carpet, it's probably their insensitive period for small objects. And it's the most interesting thing they can find on the carpet, you know, is the fluff. So it is understanding, you know, what it is your child is doing.
Totally. You know, it's so funny because so my son recently turned 2 and he just, we'll say like some months ago, entered the sensitive period for small objects, and constantly he was on the floor. Like there would be, you know, a tiny dry lentil that we dropped from our soup that night or something, and he would find it and then get so excited because while honoring his sense of order, he knew where the trash is and he knew to be involved in that way. So he would go and throw it away and, you know, after inspecting it. And it's just, it's so cool how everything is integrated, you know, and supports all pieces of the child.
One of my favorite teaching moments when I had a classroom was a shoe polishing activity, because the children knew at the end of their work cycle, or as they finished with a piece of work, they put it back where they got it from. And the children were getting ready to go outside and half of the shoes were missing. And I looked around the classroom and a child had collected up all the black leather shoes and put them with the shoe polishing activity he'd used that day, because that's his order told him that's where the black shoes belonged, ready for polishing.
Yeah.
And it's a sense of order in that child. But if you didn't understand that adult, you'd just say, oh, where's someone put all the shoes over there? Bring them back. But actually, his sense of order was these shoes all need polishing. And they did. So he put them
active. That's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. It's so cool that when you have the foundational understanding, you can totally approach the child in a different way. Because like you said, if you didn't have that foundation of understanding, it would be very easy to, you know, be like, why did you move all the shoes over there? You know,
years ago, I read a piece about Montessori, and she'd written how the children had made the environment beautiful for her. And it would have been so easy for her to have stepped in and said, why have you mixed all the materials? But the children said before she did that, oh, we've made this look beautiful for you. Years ago, we had a sensory room and it had the trunking around the middle of the room that had all the wires within it. So it was like a 3-centimeter deep little shelf. And I walked to the sensory room and there were group of girls in there, and I noticed they'd taken all the tiny little beads out of a sensory activity and they'd lined them all up around the edge. And as I stepped in the room, my first thought was, what are they doing with all the beads? And then I had a moment where I remembered what I'd read in my training, and that as a child turned around and said, Miss Sandra, we've made it beautiful for you. And it was a real wow moment in my career, because I understood, because I had studied, I knew what they were doing. You know, their love for me was shown through what they did in the environment. So I think it's really, really important not to jump in quick and say to your child, what are you doing? Even if they've, you know, they've done something that you don't particularly want them to do, you have to listen to why they've done it. Why have they, you know, put mud all over the carpet? Well, I was picture mummy.
Yeah. And that's so real in infancy and toddlerhood, just because they're little scientists and they're getting into everything, and they will absolutely, you know, get their bottom paste and wipe it on the wall, and, you know, they'll do all the things, but it's just part of their exploration.
I think everything they do, you have to treat as a learning opportunity. Because if it's something you don't want them to do, you don't go in and shout and scold. You say, oh, do you understand that actually this is only to be used outside? Or if this happens, this is what we actually need to do. Because I think every time you scold or shout at a child, you just crush that little personality, just that little bit. And they're things they remember. They don't always recover from that. Those little knocks on you are there all your life. But I think if you take that moment before you speak and think, okay, what's the bigger picture here? What is happening? And then turn it into something you can both learn from. It's far more positive. You won't become so stressed as a parent. And then your child will be happier and you'll create a happy child, you know, not a child who constantly thinks, oh, is this wrong? You know, you learn together. So I found through teaching as well, because I took that attitude with the children, when they did do something that they shouldn't have done or something broke, they would actually honestly come and tell you because they knew that there wouldn't be any sort of reprimand over it. They could be honest.
Yeah.
I think that I said to my children when we were growing up, and I said, if you break something, tell me first. If you lie to me, that's something I would be cross about. So I think it teaches your children to be honest, and they can come to you about anything, and they'll do that then all their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was just going to say, is I can imagine, you know, my son's still very little, but I can imagine that that carries on through, you know, childhood and adolescence. So that makes sense.
I'm running to you with a smile on the face, especially like my grandchildren now. They're like, Grandma, I broke this. I'm like, we don't have to be joyful over it.
They trust you so much, though. So what are some ways that you can honor a child's sense of order in the home? And then are there ways to do this using what they currently have without buying extra things?
Absolutely. So with my youngest grandson, he's 2.5, when he comes into the house, he has his own little hook in the cupboard where he hangs his bag up. The grandchildren all have their own little drawer by the back door, and they don't go in each other's drawers. And that's where they can put their belongings. And they know if they put their sweeties in there, they'll still be in there when they come back. They put their treasures in there or their money in there, will still be there. Their own bag, somewhere to put their own shoes. So we have a shoe rack, and they know that their shoes will always be there. Just getting them to help the everyday routines as well is so Montessori. You know, a few weeks ago we'd spilt something on the floor, so I went to the cupboard and I got a cloth and the liquid, and I cleaned the floor, but the grandchildren were here as well. And then a few weeks later, the 2.5-year-old decided for himself that the floor needed cleaning. So he took me, we went to the cupboard, he got out the things that he'd watched me get, and then he knew exactly how to do it. And he cleaned the floor because everything was where I had used it. He went back to it. So that sense of order of having everything in the home where it should be. Things that are accessible for the children need to be accessible and available all the time so that they can fulfill that need in themselves to do things. And if you don't want them to have it, put it out of reach and make it clear. Be respecting them as workers in the home equally as yourself. Really respect order to be able to, you know, fold their own clothes, put their own things away, tidy their own toys. Everything is so much more about being Montessori than having, you know, a pink towel or a broad stair at home. You don't necessarily need those things. But you do need to use a philosophy and respect your children.
Absolutely. I love that we're talking about this, because that's my goal with the show, is to, you know, to be able to empower parents and, you know, new educators who are working with babies and toddlers. Also, because a lot of times when people think initially of Montessori, they think of, you know, the primary age or the preschool age. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when applying it to babies and toddlers, the hope is that, you know, parents just feel empowered and like they have just the informational tools.
That's right. And with your baby, it's things like, don't just pick your child up from behind and take them to change their nappy. And if someone grabbed you from behind, it's really disrespectful. So actually, every time you're going to do something with your baby, just look your baby in the eye and say, hello, can I change your nappy? And they're not going to be able to say yes or no, but you're teaching them from an early age to protect their body, that they have the ability to give consent. You know, so always talk to your child. Oh, we're going to go and eat now. I bet you're hungry, aren't you? You know, if you constantly talk to your child in a respectful way, they'll understand that they're respected, and then they'll show respect for you.
Thank you for sharing that, because that's a very, very big piece of infancy and toddlerhood is, you know, just treating them with respect, treating them like they're, I know they're tiny, but they're capable members of the community, and, you know, and they will know that you feel that. and they will think that of themselves too.
Change them. When people say, how can I develop my child's language? You know, what books do I need? You don't. You need to talk to your child. You need to give the language that goes with the action. Oh, we're going to sit down now and eat our dinner. You're teaching them a social skill, but you're also putting the words with the actions. And they hear that enough and they have the words with the actions. And then the day the voice comes out, there's so much vocabulary in there in context that they've learned that they become fabulous communicators and they understand about the exchange of dialogue. You know, you hold your little baby and you talk to your baby and you're giving your baby eye contact. Your child is learning to give eye contact when from the first day that you hold your baby, and whether you're feeding with a bottle or whether you're feeding from the breast, that contact is there. You know, our breasts were put here at that height for a reason, so that we have got eye contact with our baby. You know, so it's important that you're building that bond, you're talking, you're waiting for your baby to look back at you, to gurgle, to respond to you. That's all our early communication skills and respecting your child.
That's such a big piece. I like how you said, you know, waiting for them to look at you, because there's significant research on how that is almost even the most important thing, the waiting for that connection piece. And, you know, cognitive language, all of their early developmental foundation is that, you know, the serve and return experience. You know, these tips and tools are so tangible, and it does take a little bit of preparation on your part. And I know you can be so sleepy, and it can be so quick in infancy and toddlerhood when you are so sleepy, but just being conscious about it and taking conscious steps can make the world of difference.
Rewards are there when your child is older. So having a baby, you know, you've just gone through giving birth, you're not feeling great, everything's sore, you're not getting any sleep, you know, but those things pass. And it's if you can get into a good routine with those things and make it clear to other people how you're bringing your child up and how you want that respect, you know, by the time your child's one and then one and a half and two, you have the most amazing child who, you know, you don't have to put your child in a playpen while you do the chores because your child is there doing them. Grandson who's 2.5, I would say for the last year, he's hoovered the house, he will dust the house. If we're peeling vegetables, he sits and peels the vegetables. And, you know, another great tip for parents, when I worked in learning disabilities, we were taught something called backwards chaining. And it's about making sure the child can do the last step of the tasks. They feel successful. So your child might not be able to peel a full carrot, chop through a great big chunky carrot. But if you cut the carrot into tiny strips and then your child just has to cut across them, your child's cutting the carrots. And in time, the skill and the strength will grow. And at 3, your child can independently peel and cut the carrots for dinner. And hey, do you know what? If they're slower than you want them to be, have them doing the veg for the next day. You know, you just found all the time how I can enable my child to fully participate in family life in a meaningful way for them. There's no good them doing their bit and then them seeing you chuck it in the bin because it's not quite the right size, or, you know, they're too thin or whatever. They really have to be valued for what they do. Absolutely. And it is, again, as an adult thinking, how can I make this work for my child? And your child will save you an enormous amount of hours. You know, they'll be able to get themselves dressed, clean their own shoes, wipe the kitchen floor. Hey, does it matter if it's not 100% perfect? It's 90% cleaner than it was an hour ago, you know, enabling them.
Absolutely. Saying, just thinking about how you're laying a foundation and what you're seeing later with your empowered toddler and young child. I'm just now starting to see a lot of it. You know, I have done Montessori from birth with my child. And even before that, you know, I was talking to him while he was in my belly. But now, you know, when we do the laundry, he knows exactly where to take the laundry, to put it down. We sort together. He puts his own clothes in his dresser. And, you know, it's so fun to see. And it's also so fun because it's almost reframing what society tells you they're capable of. Yeah.
They're so intelligent. They are so capable. Mm-hmm. And even things like you spoke about the laundry task, if you think people sometimes say, oh, you know, the Montessori materials, they're quite expensive. You're sorting the laundry. So you're sorting dark from light, mm-hmm. or you've got light blue and dark blue. If you're naming them as you're going along, your child will learn dark blue, pink, purple. You don't need to go and buy expensive materials. Mm-hmm. And that's a skill. Go to university and I'm not going to wash all my clothes and everything comes out gray.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so true. Just integrating in the house. I, you know, like the Montessori, the dishwashing setup with the bins, I've always loved that. And when I was in the toddler classroom, I loved it. But in my home, we have have a small space. I just don't have the space for it. And so he's just washing dishes in our sink. And within that are so many opportunities, you know, he's still getting the soap. He still has his scrub, you know, he's still doing all of the different steps. He's drying at the end. You know, he just figured out how to hang the towel onto the oven and, you know, just integrating. That's it.
Important things you're giving him are a sense of pride, mm-hmm. you know, your confidence, his self-esteem. And if I can wash up and I'm proud of the fact that I've done that and my dishes are clean, you know, the next time it will be the harder task. Mm-hmm. So it's I think a lot of people have to look deeper at the task as well. But actually, internally, what are you getting? You're getting, you know, a sense of belief in yourself as a person, confidence. The real things that you really need to sustain you through your whole life so that when you do have knockbacks, you've got resilience, you believe in yourself. I know I'm a good person. I know I'm a kind person. I know I'm a hardworking person. That starts when they're babies, you know, yeah. That belief in who they are.
Mm-hmm. There's a big part that comes in infancy. I love looking at, you know, the development of the brain and what mm-hmm. happens in the first 3 years and, you know, just how taking these small approaches can have such a big impact because of that.
And Montessori about, you know, we have to exercise and refine the senses. And if we don't, then, you know, our brain just casts aside things that we don't use. So children who say work with lots of different shades of colors can develop a really good chromatic sense, you know, and have much better ability at refining and seeing tiny differences in shape than people who've not used that skill. So it is important the whole time, you know, the whole sensory thing through Montessori and everything they can work with is so important.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing all the pieces on order and preparedness of the self. And because again, this is such tangible information and I think parents are really going to find value in it. So thank you for sharing.
Oh no, you're really welcome. I just think the more people share to, the more children in the world will benefit. And it is about the children, isn't it? They are the future of the planet. Another great thing I always used to say to friends and I said to staff as well, just remember that the children of today will be designing our nursing homes.
You absolutely know,
so, you know, that respect people and think, you know, that little bit deeper about actually what do we need, because at all stages of life Montessori is so valuable. You know, we have Montessori for babies, for preschool children, for primary age. You know, it's also fantastic for as we get older to practice our skills, you know, for people with dementia to relearn things as well. It's just it is a philosophy for life. And, you know, the children of today, it's so important that we get it right for them.
I couldn't have said it better. Yes. So lastly, for a quick rapid fire question, what is your current favorite Montessori or child development quote?
Oh, that's really hard. So one that's not Montessori, I love the Lavelle Drachman quote, blessed are the curious for they will have adventures. Mm-hmm. Because I think everything in Montessori classroom is about being curious. And we're so busy with like the bright coloured toys, the new toys, the flashy things. But actually, everything in a brown box, isn't that far more curious to us? What's inside? Brown paper packet tied up with string, you know. So, yeah, I think, you know, anything that causes curiosity in a child, whether it's the natural world or whether it's a box with something beautiful in, you'll have an adventure with it.
Absolutely. That's so true and so aligns with infants. It just perfectly describes when you give them a present, for example, they're far more interested in the colorful paper that's around it most of the time. Yeah, and the box. Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Sandra. Thank you for coming on the show and sharing all this incredible information. Yeah, it was so lovely chatting with you.
Oh, no, it's been really good fun. Hopefully we can do it again.
Absolutely. Yes, you're welcome anytime.
Oh, thank you so much.
And that was our interview with Sandra. I hope you enjoyed it and just kind of found that peace and confidence and really, truly all you need to do Montessori with your baby is to understand the philosophy and, you know, use observation, know basic baby development, and use all of that to guide how you work with them in your home. I will have Sandra's Facebook page linked in the show notes. That is where she shares a ton of Montessori info and how you can also get a hold of her. And that is about it for today's episode. Because today is Mother's Day, I do just want to again say that I think you're amazing. I know this job is no easy feat, but You are incredible. And just the fact that you're here just means that you are doing your very best to be the prepared adult. And that is the very best thing for your baby. So anyway, like I had mentioned earlier in the episode, if you are on my email list, I will be sending you something very, very, very special that I have quite literally never shared before. And the way that you can join the email list super quickly is by downloading my super helpful free guide on how to do Montessori at home from birth to two. So definitely grab that. It is linked in the show notes. And that is about it. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Hey, it's Bianca, your baby tour guide here, hopping back in to say thank you again for listening to this episode of our Montessori Babies podcast. If you found this episode helpful, I would absolutely love if you would screenshot this episode and share it in your stories and tag me at Baby Tour Guide. Also, leaving a review is really helpful in helping other parents and caregivers find our show. Dr. Montessori said, "The greatness of the human personality begins at the hour of birth," and you, as their parent and guide or caregiver, are just the perfect person for that job. I'm so honored to be even a small part on your journey, and just remember that we're in this together.